The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 16. Please turn to page 121 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 15, 11 to 16. Allow me to read the words of God. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Amen. The book of Ruth in the Old Testament includes a story of beautiful faith. And the most important purpose behind why the book of Ruth was written is to reveal the genealogy of David. The book dramatically introduces how David, Jesus' ancestor, was born. The beginning was truly grim. Ruth chapter 1 verse 1 begins like this: "In the days when the judges ruled." There was a regular pattern in the lives of the descendants of Israelites who lived in the time of the judges. It was sin, punishment, repentance, salvation or peace, forgetting and committing sin again. This life pattern was repeated 7 times. But not only did they repeat and repeat this pattern, but it was repeated, as it was repeated, their spiritual and ethical state went into a deeper quagmire, following a downward spiral. The theme of the book of the Judges is sometimes represented with one word, again. So the time of the Judges can be described as the time when people lived as if God did not exist. The life of a person who left God is like a refrigerator that is unplugged. Even when the power is off, the refrigerator may seem okay on the outside. But in a short while, the food inside the refrigerator starts to rot. The food starts to go bad inside even faster than leaving it outside where there is ventilation. But on the outside, everything seems fine. But when you open the door, you can immediately detect a stinky smell. A person who has left God may also seem to be fine on the outside, but a stinky human nature is still within. The time of Judges was like so. The future generations also called it as the dark era of spirituality. The book of Ruth shows God's history through a single household that lived through such times. Ruth chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land." During a time when there was spiritual turmoil and political unrest, there was also a famine, resulting in economic hardship. An economic depression had occurred. Then a person named Elimelech made a decision. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2 says, "So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and 2 sons, went to live for a while in a country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. The family of Elimelech migrated temporarily from Bethlehem to Moab. The Bethlehem in Judah is a city located in the western part of the sea, and Moab is located across from it in the country to the east of the Dead Sea. When you farm, there may be times you have fewer crop because the drought goes longer than usual or the river overflows. You come across such years of low harvest when you farm. But to the Israelites, a bad harvest year was a sign from God indicating that they need to obey God and stop worshiping other idols. But as a response to escape the bad harvest, this family chose to avoid God. In all ages, it is not easy to migrate. Extreme poor have difficulty migrating. Unless there are special circumstances, people with a certain level of income, talent, or skills can migrate. When Naomi returned later, people in Bethlehem said, "Isn't it Naomi the pleasant?" she said. And she said, "Don't call me Naomi, and instead call me Mara, which means suffering." And she said, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." So Elimelech's family did not leave because they didn't have enough to eat, but they had left to forget God and have a more comfortable life. And they didn't intend to live in Moab forever, but just temporarily. They probably thought they would return to Bethlehem in a good harvest year. So they had expected to stay in Moab for a year or two, or at most 3 or 4 years. But their life plan was totally screwed up. Let's look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 2 to 5. "And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. They married Moabite woman, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her 2 sons and her husband. In Moab, her husband Elimelech suddenly died. We cannot know when this occurred, but since they had not planned to live there for a long time, he may have died soon after they had arrived in Moab. The region of death is not recorded, but he may have died from inability to adjust well to a foreign country, or a disease endemic to the area, or by accident. So their stay changed from a temporary migration to permanent residence. Then 2 sons who had grown up became married, and Naomi had daughter-in-laws. Naomi may have thought that she can live with her 2 sons and 2 daughter-in-laws even if she doesn't have her husband. But even that didn't turn out the way she wanted. After 10 years of migrant life, all 3 men died, and only 3 women were left. Thomas Fuller, a historian and pastor from the UK during the 17th century, describes Naomi as the following: "Women are more delicate beings than men. Among women, the elderly is even weaker. Among them, widows deserve pity, and the poor widow even more. Furthermore, the poor elderly widow without children are even more miserable, and a foreigner elderly widow without any children is surely miserable and pitiful. While Job went through the most suffering among men, Naomi went through the most difficulty among women. Naomi's family should not have left Bethlehem in Judah. The book of Ruth is often quoted as the main scripture for sermons on family Sundays to describe how daughter-in-laws are to serve their mother-in-laws. But the book of Ruth was not given to emphasize filial piety. From the perspective of salvation, Naomi in the book of Ruth signifies the Israelite descendants. The book of Ruth is a story about how God restores the Israelites who have taken a wrong turn. Bethlehem in Judah is the original place where Naomi's family used to live. Judah means to praise, and Bethlehem means bakery. God called Israelite descendants to that place to praise God with their lives and feed on the food of eternity. But when they did not praise God, the bakery became a place of drought. Today's scripture describes a young man like Elimelech who is trying to leave his home, a younger son. Even though there wasn't a drought in the neighborhood, nor did the family go through bankruptcy so that they didn't have enough to eat, but the son wanted to leave his home. Let's read verse 11 and 12. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Last week, we saw how the younger son was requesting something, his father, to do something that the son could not request and should not request. If the younger son asked his father to give his inheritance in advance, it was not just asking for money, but the son was cursing his father to die quickly. But the father did not make any comment about the younger son's ridiculous request and did as he was asked. If there is a candle, a child will try to touch it. Even if you tell him that his hand will be burned if he touches it, the child will repeatedly try to touch it. A child who touches the candle accidentally will not try to touch it after that experience. The father knew that the younger son is like the child who has experienced a fire burn on his hand after touching a candle. So even if he refuses this request, the son will ask again. In our spiritual lives, weren't there many times when we requested something out of our own desires, like the younger son, even when God said no? And we lived a life far away from the Word of God. Only after that did we return to God and admit how spiritually childlike we were. When the second son, after receiving inheritance from his father, what he did is testified in verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. The younger son cashed out all of his inheritance from his father in just a few days. It is not easy to sell all of farmland, livestock, or house in just a few days. The younger son would have done so as soon as the deals were made. Anxious to leave his house and eager to leave the home, he will have done so as fast as possible. He may have been hopeful in his own way as he did so. The Korean Bible says he collected all the wealth he had and left, but in the Greek Bible, the word wealth is not mentioned, and it says all he had. So the younger son did not only get rid of his wealth, but he also sorted out all of his relationships. When you leave a country to be a resident employee of a company abroad or to study abroad, you do not sell everything before leaving. You rent out your place or ask someone to take care of it instead of selling it because you need to come back later to live. If you can afford it, you will leave some money in the savings account as well. But if you leave with resentment or think that you will not return forever, then you will try to leave nothing. The younger son was like this. He cleaned out everything. So he left to a country afar, but things did not go as he planned. He used up all his wealth. I explained that the word profligacy does not just mean ethically and morally low life, but also squandering. The younger son may not necessarily have enjoyed wine, woman, and entertainment or wasted all of it on gambling. In today's terms, he may have started a business but went bankrupt, opened up a restaurant, but there was no customer and had to close down with a big loss, invested in stocks based on others' advices, but the price of stocks kept falling, dreaming of a big win with high hopes, and he may have bought a lottery, which was of no hope, and there was still a life to live. So now his life was one without anything. If this younger son lived in South Korea, he would have had a couple of 100 million wons, and felt like he had the whole world. But later, he squandered it all and had only a few 10,000 wons and had to live on cup noodles and small kimbap or any other cheap meal options from the convenience store. How miserable and regretful would he be? But that wasn't all. Let's look at verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. Even though he had lost everything, when the economic situation was okay, he could work at construction sites and work part-time in stores to get by. He may have thought, if the economy gets better, I could earn more money. But the reality was the exact opposite. There was a severe famine in the country, and it was in need of an IMF bailout. So the younger son started to go hungry. He could earn something to get by each day, and he didn't have to starve. But now, he couldn't last anymore. Let's look at verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. Finally, where he chose, or the place he could go, was the countryside, and he fed pigs. This does not just mean that the younger son had to work in a dire place pursuing arduous work. At the time, some shepherds took others' belongings, so they were often criticized by others. They did not abide the law. It was rather difficult for them to do so because they had to move along the pasture and eat and sleep with the animals. Also, if they lost some animal, they stole other shepherds' animals to keep count, so they did not have the right to be present in court as a witness. Moreover, the younger son was not a shepherd, but a swineherd. To Israelites, pigs were extremely unclean animal, and they didn't even eat pigs. So if the younger son started to feed pigs, that meant he didn't have a purpose for living, nor hope for the future, or any meaning in life. He just lived each day without a meaning. A life apart from God is like so from the perspective of eternity. But the metaphor does not end here. If this metaphor is like a play, then the scene is between the setup and the confrontation. In the desolate fields, he finally thought about his father and father's house. After experiencing despair and doom, he now finally thought about his father, who he had not wanted to think about. So that pasture became a place of providence. Fields, wilderness, and empty lots in the Bible represent a place where one cannot live by his ability, a place of life where only one can live with the help of God. In this field, people were trained and a worthless person was made into a person of God. To Jacob, the place by the ford of Jabbok, where he wrestled with the angel, was his empty lot. In Genesis chapter 32, someone wrestled with Jacob there, and the fight continued overnight. This person hit Jacob's socket of the hip, but Jacob did not let go of him. He tried to leave, but Jacob said he will not let go until he blessed Jacob. So he gave a new name to Jacob, Israel, which means he struggles with God and wins. Jacob named that place Peniel, the face of God. But in Hosea chapter 12 testifies that Jacob struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. Jacob actually gave up to God. He finally ended his self-centered life of the past and confessed that he will live only for God in that place. After that, Jacob lived as the leader of faith and the person of God. Moses tried to save the Israelites with his might out of Egypt, but God took him to the wilderness in Midian. There, he had to be trained to realize that he is nothing while tending his father-in-law's sheep for 40 years so that he can let go of his power. That wilderness helped Moses to become the true Moses, the one who draws out. And he lived another 40 years in the wilderness, paying attention to God only. Moreover, the book of 1 Samuel, which we are studying in the district Bible study, describes David's life in the wilderness. David was the best general of Israel, the son-in-law of a king, and was anointed to be a king after King Saul. But God did not train David to become a king in the palace. Instead, he led him to the cave of Adullam, the wilderness of En-Gedi, and the wilderness of Ziph. When people who lived with David in Ziklag was attacked by Amalekites and lost everything, he also cried so loud that he lost his voice. Through such process, David was strengthened only by God and trusted only God. The prophet Elijah did not hear God's voice when God rained fire during his fight against 450 prophets of Baal in the Mount Carmel. He heard a small voice of God in a small cave of Mount Horeb, where he was on the run for 40 days, hiding from Queen Jezebel, who threatened to kill him. That cave was his wilderness. It's the same for the people in the New Testament. Saul, who had thought that it was perfectly fine for Stephen to be stoned to death and searched meticulously for Christians to send them to prison and get rid of churches, received an official document from the high priest to go to Damascus, the capital of Syria, to capture Christians at synagogues. On his way, he met the resurrected Jesus. Actually, the resurrected Jesus went to meet him. Saul met Jesus brighter than sunlight and was blinded, so someone else had to take him to Damascus. While fasting for 4 days, Ananias, one of the disciples, visited him and opened his eyes. In the letter to Galatians, Paul confesses that he later went to Arabia. Some people interpret Arabia as Mount Sinai, and others as a desert close to Damascus. Wherever it is, that place was where Paul trained to look at God only. After that, Paul faithfully lived a life of eternal disciple. A good example of a person in the empty field is John the Baptist. He was born as a son of priests. At the time, the priesthood was handed down to their children, and it was a socially and economically accepted profession. When John turns 25, he would have become an apprentice priest and would learn from the leader priest for 5 years. At the age of 30, he would have become a real priest and carry out his duties and receive respect forever. But Luke chapter 1, verse 80 testifies about John as the following: "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel." John gave up his privilege and lived in the wilderness until he became 30 years old. There, his spirituality deepened. This is sure to happen. There's nothing to look towards except for God, and nothing to hope for except for God. So his spiritually was bound to become deeper. So Luke chapter 3 verses 1 to 2 testifies the following. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Herod Tetrarch, Herod Philip, Lysanias, and two high priests, Annas and Caiaphas, were all the most successful people at the time. They were people in control of the Roman Empire and Israel. At the time, Israelites could not imagine a life without religion, so these two high priests had much influence. They received the light of the world, and the world's cameras were directed towards them. But those lights were not from God, nor were they God's cameras. God's light and God's camera were headed towards John the Baptist in the empty field. John may have seemed unimportant in front of these seven people. They would have lived in the palaces of the Roman Empire and the castles of places that they rule. While John did not even own a brick house or a shack, the cave in the field was his home. And the seven people would have worn exquisite clothing made of purple linen or expensive wool, but John wore clothing roughly made with camel's hair. And the seven people would have dined cuisine that normal people never even had seen or heard about, but John ate locusts and honey. But the word of God did not come to the Roman emperor or any other kings nor the high priests. They owned too many things, and their seats were too high, so their lives did not have room for the word of God to be present. So, the word of God came to John, who had turned his life to the place of God in the empty field. His entire life had become a field to hold the word of God. There are only 2 months left of this year. Does your place in life feel like the wilderness and the empty field? Even if you're coming to church every Sunday, not away from God, is your inner person meandering like the younger son who has turned away from God and avoids God, so that your places in life look like the pig's hen? Even if our places in life are like that, let us direct our life and faith to God in such places. if we are apart from God, even if we receive much attention and have much wealth, then our lives will be squandered. Even if you are living a life like David, who did not want to but had to live in the wilderness running away from King Saul, or like John the Baptist, who voluntarily chose to live in the empty field, or like the younger son, who had to live in the empty field because of his choice in life, regardless of which reason, let us meet God and the Word of God in such places in our lives which may feel like the wilderness. If we take God and the Word of God as our purpose of life, then we will surely be built together in Jesus in our places of life, and these places in our lives will become a place of God's grace. Let us pray. Father God, Naomi, who had avoided Bethlehem, a field of bad harvest, and moved to Moab, faced a field of bad life harvest. But when she returned with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, she tasted the abundance of God, and Ruth received the grace of becoming the ancestor of David and Jesus. We saw that the younger son who requested what he couldn't have to his father and left for a distant country eventually had nothing left and went into the empty field and fed pigs. But that empty field became a place for him to remember his father and his father's house. Father God, we confess that there were times when we wanted to accomplish many things away from God and wanted to show you our accomplishments like the younger son. But may we remember that the younger son did not leave his father when he didn't have anything, but when he had much things. Whatever we have and whatever we have accomplished, may we not forget that if we leave God, that of it in itself is profligacy and squander, and that it ultimately makes our lives and souls to be impoverished. Just as the people of faith turned the wilderness, caves, and wild fields in their lives as a blessed place to return to the Word of God, may our places in life become places to listen and obey the words of God. Consequently, may our lives be the sites of God's history at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.